appreciate the Lord letting us come. I appreciate the presence of the Lord. I hope you've done what the Lord wants you to do. If you need to pray or whatever, I hope you've done that. I appreciate when God comes by. We need Him. I can't not make it without Him, but I'm glad, like she was singing, He is there. Hears our prayers, speaks to our hearts, gives us peace, strength to carry on. I'm glad there's not a problem or trouble we have God can't fix. I want to be sensitive to the Lord, Holy Spirit. John chapter 11. I appreciate the privilege to be here. It's been a few years. And I appreciate you, preacher. I love this man of God. Appreciate his stand for the truth. And I'm most of all grateful, though, that I'm saved. Amen. What a blessing to be born again. Amen. And these perilous times, I'm glad I've got a hope. Amen. A lively hope. I'm looking for those days that are coming ahead of us. Amen. Just going to get better for me and you. Amen. I'm glad of it. Amen. I'm going to read one verse out of John chapter 11, and then I'll let you be seated, and I'll probably read a few more verses in a minute out of another place. Just two words, John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. All right, you can be seated. I know this is a familiar portion of Scripture, shortest verse in the Bible. And a lot of time our children learn it and we say it, but I don't know if we realize how amazing what is being said there. Jesus wept. We're talking about God weeping. The Scriptures say that word means to express a deep sorrow, anguish and outcry shedding of tears. And don't find in these Gospels anywhere where the Lord laughed. I believe He probably did with His disciples somewhere. But we do have a record of Him weeping. Not just once, but three times it talks about Him weeping or crying. Here in this Scripture I read to you, it said Jesus wept. And then in Luke chapter 19, the Bible tells us, and when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the thing which belonged unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And then in Luke chapter 22, it says, starting in verse 41, and this is the picture of him in the garden, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now we have to go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 to see a picture of what's taking place in the garden. And it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers with supplication, with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Amen. Now, if the Lord will help me for a little bit this morning, I want to preach on that thought. Jesus wept. Every instance that I read to you has to do with sin, either the effect or the consequences of sin. The Lord is weeping. In John chapter 11, you know the story. Lazarus is dead. He's in the tomb. He's been dead for 4 days. He comes up to the tomb and he's talking to Mary and Martha, and Mary's weeping and the Jews that are with her are weeping. And it says the Lord is troubled in his soul and groans. And then it says that Jesus wept. And I find that amazing. Here the Lord is standing at the tomb of Lazarus, knowing full well in just a few moments, he's going to have the stone rolled away and he's going to call Lazarus by name and he's going to come out of the tomb. And that night at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house, it's going to be full of rejoicing and praising God. But now at that very moment, the Lord is weeping. As he looks over that crowd and over that scene of the cemetery and all them tombs and all them stories of woe, I believe he's weeping as he thinks about what sin has done to his creation. The very effect that sin has upon man. I want you to realize today, there would be no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, no death if it was not for sin. What a mess sin has made of our world. You think about what we look at today, and we're living in these last days, and sin seemingly is on a rampage, and oh, how wicked and ungodly, broken homes and messed up lives and men who have wasted their self through sin, and what a mess this world's in because of sin. I mean, the Lord here is weeping over this fact that sin has brought them to this place and has broken the heart of Mary and has broken the heart of these Jews, because their friend Lazarus is dead and death would not even be if it was not for sin. And so the Lord is weeping over the fact that his creation has been thrown into an uproar, even to the fact that Paul says in Romans that the creation itself groans waiting for the day of redemption. For the fulfilling of the promises of God. Sin is an awful thing. I mean, you just look, and I can think of people and can call people whose life are a wreck today because of sin. Sin's an awful thing. I don't think, I thought that yesterday, Brother Larry preached on sin out of Romans chapter 3, and he's right. We do not have a big picture of how awful sin is. We're in a mess today because of sin. This world's in a mess because of sin. People's homes are broken. Wives are abused. Children are mistreated because of sin. Churches are ruined because of sin. Preachers aren't preaching anymore and have got out of the ministry because sin got in their life. People who should have had a bright future today have not that future because sin got in their life and messed them up. And I think the Lord looked at this place and said, as he looked at them tombs and thought, what a mess sin has made out of my creation. And he's weeping. Then you come to this next verse. In chapter 19 of Luke, and the Lord has come up over the city and is looking over Jerusalem. And it says he wept as he beheld the city. And he makes this statement there in Luke chapter 19. Saying, and it's got an exclamation point on it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. The Lord had come to Israel, come to this city, preaching the truth and doing these miracles so that they would receive him and find life and peace. And yet they had rejected him and were missing their opportunity. This is an exclamation point. He's crying out, if you had just known the day of your visitation, what an opportunity stood before you. What a chance to come into relationship with God and to be made what God wanted to make you out of you. And they did not understand. They had rejected, and it was not that they were ignorant. It was a willful rejection of the Lord. They chose their way over God's way. What a sigh. I can understand why he's weeping. Even today, I look out at people who God has given such a wonderful offer. Even though they're wicked sinners, wretched and undone, have broken the laws of God. God stands before and preaches a man of God with a good gospel message and says, if you will simply come to me and repent of your sin, you can be born again. God will wash your sins away and bring you into the family, and great peace can be had by the power of God. And yet men won't believe. They willfully reject the Lord. They turn their backs on God and go after the things of the world and live in the pleasures of sin, not realizing that each day passes, they get closer and closer to an awful judgment of God. That's what the Lord is here saying. He's weeping over them. He said, if you'd have known the hour of your visitation, if you'd have known the peace that you could have had, oh, how wonderful it would have been if Jerusalem had simply yielded to their Messiah and received him, but they would not. And now he says, judgment's coming. Because you would not, because you've rejected me, because of these things, the hour's gone, the light's been turned out, and now you must suffer the judgment. And great was the judgment. Within 40 years, that city was laid bare by the armies. Great was that judgment. Hey, listen to this preacher. I don't know who in here is saved and who's not, but hear me well. If you won't come to God and give your heart to the Lord and enjoy the blessings of being born again, one day you'll face a holy God and the judgment will be great. And we live in a world, I'm afraid, in a country, I'm afraid, that many have come to that place in Romans where God has given them over to reprobate mind and has turned the light out on them. And they're unaffected by the preaching. And they don't listen. When you get in that shape, you can't even tell right from wrong. I'm glad. You ought to thank God if the Lord has given you enough light to know you ought to come to church and get right. He's weeping over the fact that, listen, isn't it amazing? What a blessing. That in these days of the height, there's still places where the door's open. And there's a man of God preaching and telling sinners, you may be the vilest of the vile, but if you will hear the preaching and repent of your sins and give your heart to God, the Lord will save you, and peace, great peace, will be given to you. Aren't you glad that's the way it is? I'm glad we live it. Oh, I'm glad for this day of grace. I'm glad we're the opera. I'm glad I get to preach. I got the responsibility to tell men that they've broken the laws of God, that they've disappointed and done wrong, that they've lived in rebellion, that they've done wickedness, and the judgment of God looms large before them. But I'm glad it don't stop there. I got the blessed privilege, Brother Hyde, to tell them that Jesus died for them, and that if they repent, they can have peace with God. Have peace with the Lord. He said, if you'd have known the hour, I've seen it. I've seen God deal with people and them reject the Lord and miss the opportunity. I remember when I was pastoring in Louisville of a lady. She had a very bad disease, had a port in her neck. And she'd come to church with her husband and her little girl. And I've seen her come to the altar at times. And one Sunday morning she'd come. And Bad was praying over right about this place. Away from the altars, a bunch of people praying. And it's like she shook her head, got up, walked out the door, left her husband, left her daughter. And in 6 months, I walked by her casket. She's laid in the funeral home. I think that day she said no to God. And she missed her opportunity. And now, unless by the mercies of God, in some unknown time in those 6 months, she repented. She wound up in hell and facing the judgment of God. We just don't know. He's weeping over the fact these people haven't had an opportunity, but they've missed it. That's a bad story, I know. I think of another man up there. I always tell these two together because it just gives a little hope. He was a young man. He's in his 20s and started revival in August. He'd come. I thought he was just coming for his mom and dad, just make him happy. He'd come first night. I thought, well, that's good. Preacher, preach. But he'd come back the next night. And he'd come back the next night. And I thought, wait now. He keeps coming. Lord's liable to do something. Then along about Thursday or Friday night, I believe it was, he called me about 12 o'clock. He said, crying. He said, preacher, I just got saved over here in my apartment. I got bored again. That's good. He'd come to church. I baptized him. In January, that following year, he got saved in August. And in January, one morning I answered the phone. It was about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Brother Verl's on the other end. He said, preacher. He said, we found him dead in the apartment. Had a heart problem. Young man. Went into eternity. Yes. I got to preach that funeral and say, if there was a day, 3 or 4 months ago, amen, when he sought the mercies of God. Amen. He's in heaven now. Yes. That's wonderful. Amen. He found God while God was dealing with him. I was teaching Sunday school this morning when he was teaching. He'd seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. When your opportunity, when God passes by, that's the time to do business with the Lord. So he wept. And this last picture's in the garden. And the Lord's weeping. We find out in Hebrews. I'll be honest with you. There's something so wonderful right there that I cannot even hardly explain it. Here's the Son of God praying to God about if it's possible, take his cup away. But in that struggle, he's saying, nevertheless, your will. That's he's talking about in Hebrews. He talks about in Philippians how he came obedient to death and even the death of the cross. And in this agony and in this weeping, he's resigned himself to this awful price that must be paid because of sin. He's weeping. But matter of fact, there's a word there in Luke chapter 22 that's not found anywhere else in the Bible. And it's the word agony. And it means a struggle, a strive up to such a length that we may not ever know what we're talking about. He's going through something that we could not go through. He is taking upon him with his cup the sins of the whole world. Every sin, think about it, every black sin from the start, from Adam to the end, is in that cup. And he is looking at that bitter cup and saying, if there's another way, but oh God, well, if it's not, I willingly take this so that one day men can be born again. And he's weeping over that fact, this struggle that's taken place. All of hell is bombarding and heaven through the angels strengthening him. And the battle's on. And he's resigning himself to the fact that I'll go to that awful cross and suffer so men can be born again. He knows. As he looks in that cup, he knows every. In fact, here is one who's never known sin. Never been separated from the Father. Never done anything contrary to the will of God. And now he's, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, he hath made him to be sin. He's becoming sin. Every murder, every adultery, every vile, wicked, foul deed, he's becoming that. So that God can pour his wrath out on him. So that one day, on May the 9th, 1985, an old country boy from Grayson County can cry out for mercy. And God the Father can be just and a justifier and forgive me of my sins and put me in the family of God. He's weeping. over this battle that's taken place, over this awfulness, the fact that in a few hours he's going to be arrested and mistreated and mobbed and spit upon and beaten or you wouldn't even recognize who he was. And his back's going to be laid open with that whip, and they're going to nail him to the cross and suspend him between heaven and earth and mock him while they do it. All that's bad, but behind the picture of all that, there's this holy hand of God clothing the Son and pouring his wrath out on him so that we can be born again. He's going to face something he has never known. Separation from the Father. So that me and you can be born again. Isn't that wonderful? So we can be saved. I'm here this morning and I'm enjoying the trip. I'm sitting back there and I'm a backwards type feller. I was all nervous until she started singing. And I felt that I'm accustomed to. And all of a sudden the Lord said, it'll be all right. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the trip. I'm enjoying being born again. But it's not how many times I went to church. It's not how many times I've preached. When I get there, it'll be the blood. It'll be what the Lord done for me. It'll be the fact that that night in the garden, he got the victory so he could go to the cross and get the big victory. I'm glad our Lord cares for me and you. Scripture says, according to Hebrews chapter 5 there, that he might become the author of eternal salvation to them that obey him. I'm glad I responded in the right way. Brother Danny, like you talked about, God changes lives and it's eternal salvation. Makes us children of God. Puts us in the family. Isn't that wonderful? There's an old story in history. It happened a few times and it has to deal with the armies in that area. And it fits this story. In those days, soldiers would be sent out, and if they failed to accomplish their mission, could not get done what they were supposed to got done and suffered defeat, they would be brought back and laid up in a line. There would be a cup of poison filled and each man had to take his sip and die. But there are records that sometimes the general loved his men so much that he'd grab that cup and turn it up and drink it all so all of them could live. That's exactly what the Lord done for us. Now, I want to be honest with you. I'm sorrier than anything. And I don't understand why the Lord loved me. But I can tell you all this morning, I'm going to heaven because he did. And he took my place. He said, you, if you stay where you are and die the way you die, eternity will be your hell and you'll never be able to pay for what you've done. But I'll go to the cross, I'll pay the price, and when you come and repent, I can put you in the family of God. It's wonderful to be saved. Wonder to be a part of this eternal salvation. It's all right if I get my wife to say. I want you to sing, I'm one of them. Y'all don't know me. I was raised in a modern church. I knew what time was going in, knew what time was getting out. Preacher never preached like I'm preaching. He talked about social events. He talked about things going on in the community. And I thought y'all were crazy. I really did. Crying, men crying, I thought that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. That night in the storefront building, I went down there. This lady right here is my wife. That's the only reason I went. I'd seen her at a friend's house and I said, I'll go, and if I go, I can get a date. But the man of God, preached the gospel that night. And I left that place under conviction. Scared about going to hell. 17 years old, I got in a bad way. About 3 months. But one night in an old barn, they was having a revival in a barn. They bought a piece of ground to build a church, and it's having a revival in an old barn. And I was there, and I don't really remember what the preacher preached. I just know when the altar call come, I ran up there, and I repented, and I didn't even know y'all's vocabulary. I didn't. I got up, and they said, what about? And they wanted me to say, I saved, Brother Hyatt. I didn't know that word. I didn't know. I just told them, I said, I feel clean all over. I mean, I've been back in that conviction, and all of a sudden that's gone. I said, I feel clean all over. I was born again. God made a change in my life. Ever since then, it's been a good trip. It's wonderful to be born again. She sings this song, I'm one of them. I'm glad I am. I'm glad I heard in tones of thunder through the gospel. You need to get right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
How I came to love these pilgrims is to me a great surprise. And the way my Lord has led me is a wonder in my eyes.
good for us to be here this morning. Bless the Lord for the good preached word, good fellowship of the Spirit in my heart. Thank God for the good singing. Amen. Thank you for being in the house of God. I'm glad God made a good way here this morning to meet with our hearts, and I bless Him for that. I needed this, and God knows I did. He knows you did. And I'm thankful that God did do it in our heart this morning of what He's done this service. Amen. Appreciate Brother West coming and his wife, and thank God for the Lord using them in the meeting here this morning. Amen. Let's stand at this time. We'll have a word of prayer. Remember, meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. Pray for us. Pray for the meeting tonight. And you ask God to help and bless and work. Amen. Thank God for it. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. Amen. Anybody need to say anything before we dismiss? God touching your heart. God's touching you. Brother Todd, pray for us.